Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into 2025 on the Mark Cox Morning Show, our first show of the year. We are glad you're here on the second day of January, and pretty easy today. That's Sue Thomas. We're letting her take a breather today and tomorrow, because my guess is Monday morning will not be.
So, you picking up on that? 8 inches potentially of snow in some parts of St.
Did
Louis.
You hear that?
Well, that's what I thought my family was saying. I thought you said 6 to 8.
I will not let you nail me down like that, because I am not a meteorologist and I don't play one on TV. What I did see What I did see on social media was a Mr. Chris Higgins, who works over Channel 2, put out a map that said, this was a day or two ago, that in the areas that are snow only, you could see accumulations in excess of 6 inches, is what he said.
Tomato, tomato.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not claiming it's going to be snowmageddon, but you will be tuning in, I'm guessing, to the local forecast, which is exactly what they're hoping for. In fact, I was just talking to Tricia Everding in there a minute ago, Tricia Siegman Everding, and I asked her if we could get Dave Murray on tomorrow morning, and she's going to work on that. So for the show tomorrow, we will have a meteorologist on here who can kind of nail that down a little more, because obviously we got some time to not worry about it, because it'll be Sunday into Monday, looks like.
I'm just thinking about the commute on Monday morning.
Ethan, I got an idea. Is Carl's not back Monday, right?
No.
It's you're in here again.
That's me, yep.
I think probably what we need is to have Kim, the news person, out on the side of the road somewhere, calling in reports on Monday morning.
Idea.
I think we can make that happen.
Like, you could just stop there at the Tam Avenue overpass and just phone it in.
Don't you bring up the Tam Avenue overpass here on this show right now.
Come on. We've all earned our stripes.
Mark, you've talked about how you've really enjoyed that over the years. So I think you should be able to relive that fond memory of yours and do that on Monday. And I'll man everything back here in the warm studio.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. No, thank you. I don't ever want to have to go through that again. Thank you very much. That was not ever any fun. So we will we'll of course cover that for you. I promise. I know I tease a lot. Sounds like it could be an event, and we'll try to get you the latest on that from Dave Murray coming up tomorrow morning here. I promise. This hour we're going to talk to Jeff Hunter. He is an AI expert. That's two words, artificial intelligence, as Kamala told us that time. Here's the thing. I heard today that any kid born starting January 1st, did you hear this on the radio this morning? They've come up with a new generation, you know, like millennial or Gen Z or whatever. This is going to be Gen Beta.
Yeah, so think if your sibling is just a year apart, you're still considered different generations, and now your sibling, like your older brother, is Generation Alpha, and you have to be teased, I'm sure, that you're Generation Beta.
Is the current Generation Alpha?
Yeah, Generation Alpha is the current lowest.
So Easton is Generation Alpha, but if he had a sibling at some point now, it would be Generation Beta.
Generation Beta.
Wow.
Yep, and it's funny because I grew up, what social media started coming out when I was, I think, in high school. Facebook came out, and now these kids, this is all they're going to know. Smartphones and AI and all this technology.
I have a dumb question. How did we get to Z before we got to A and B?
I've wondered the same thing, they named the hurricane.
I know
they have a system for it,
but they do that in alphabetical order.
How do they decide on the names? Like, you know what? This one just seems like a Milton.
Well, we're going to talk to Jeff, because what I heard about this alpha, this generation beta, is that they're going to be the first generation whose lives are going to be totally involving this artificial intelligence, like from the day they're born, like they're when they finally get into school and they get exposed to social media, everything's going to be artificial intelligence. So we're going to talk to him about that coming up. Griff Jenkins at the bottom of the hour. But first, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I think it's interesting that the mayor of New York is right over there.
Do not. This is what he does. He's trying to stir the pot.
Well, he's much indicted.
Joining us
and
now
he's
live.
Running around at the party.
That is a train wreck every year. I didn't watch it. I saw a clip from Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen. Cohen gets drunk and starts saying things on the air that he probably shouldn't say. And Anderson Cooper tries to reel him back in. And this the comedian they had on there was fantastic near the end. And they couldn't shut her up fast enough.
This man was trying to run over as many people as he possibly could.
Yeah. That's the police chief down there, Ann Kirkpatrick in New Orleans, kind of describing the intent of this suspect, Din Jabbar, who drove his EV, his rented Ford electric truck, through a crowd and killed 15 people.
Do you plan to go to President Carter's funeral?
I do. I'll be there. We were invited.
Have you spoken with any Carter family members?
I'd rather not say.
Now, that was kind of weird. I don't know why he wouldn't say, but that was President Trump saying that he does plan to attend the funeral services for former President Jimmy Carter.
I think a lot of progress has been made over the last 5 weeks. It's been pretty amazing when you look at what's happened. There's a whole light over the whole world, not just our country. There are a lot of very happy people.
Yeah, there are a lot of very happy people. Why is that sound effect so loud in my ear? Did you hear that, Ethan?
Everything seems to be loud today, and
Bear in mind, I'm in downtown St. Louis. I thought that was a gunshot at first. It scared the hell out of me. Can't be too sure these days. We did cover the shooting at the Wheelhouse this weekend, by the way, and now we got reports this morning somewhere in North County of multiple gunshots potentially fired at, I don't know, at a car, maybe? They're still investigating it. The local stations have been covering that this morning. Dozens of shots fired. Dozens of shell casings found near this scene up in North County at Dunn Road and Highway 367 near Christian Hospital. 66 shell casings they found, and they don't know if anybody... They found a shooting victim in a wrecked Tesla nearby, and that person was taken to the hospital with a non-life-threatening injuries, according to Channel 4.
Nothing to see here, folks.
No,
just
nothing
another
to see.
Day in good old St. Louis.
66. And somebody pointed out to me that is very close to Christian... the Christian Northeast Hospital and 367 there is very close to the precinct for the St. Louis County Police up there. I mean, this shooting happened pretty close to, I believe, the first precinct for the county police, just like right down the street.
Wow. I assume they got there quickly then.
Yeah, I think that's near Redmond and 367, if I remember correctly. You know, I do have lots of police officers I'm friends with, and some of them have my phone number, and some of them texted me during the show. And Kim, we were talking earlier about the writing tickets for people using their phone. And one of my friends typed in, yeah, I'm a hypocrite because I can be coded, in other words, on a run to a location while still being able to type on my computer and do all this other stuff in the meantime while writing you a ticket for having your phone in your hand. He said it's a little hypocritical, the way they've written the law, because police officers in many cases are forced to do that stuff all the time.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they have to probably multitask, but...
Man, my other guy, and you know, I mean, I just sent him back a ha-ha because it's the truth. And my other friend pointed out that he believes both of those offenses are secondary. So in other words, that it's not a primary reason to pull you over.
What, if you're using your cell phone?
Yes. Did you read something differently?
Maybe I misunderstood it. My understanding was that if you're using your phone while driving, it would
it's
be
a primary,
and if you're at a stoplight, it would be secondary.
Oh, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
We'll read it again. How about that? All right, coming up in a minute, we will talk to Jeff Hunter on what your, I don't know, you got a grandkid or a kid that was just born in the new year? Guess what? They're a new generation, and AI is going to have a tremendous impact on their lives. We're going to get to him right after the break. Stay tuned. I don't know about you. When I talk, Kim, you're out of focus. Like we can't reach you here for some odd reason. Your camera's out of focus. Did you notice that? Maybe that's AI.
I cannot explain why this keeps happening to my camera.
We need some AI. Is what we need here. That's for sure. Whenever I think of this AI, I try to wrap my brain around it because I've seen like ChatGPT and things like that. It's amazing. I think to myself that somebody's going to appear someday and tell me they're from the future and warn me not to let this happen, just like the guy out of Terminator.
I'm here from the future.
Yeah, you need to stop this before it gets any further. I don't know. Maybe I'm too worried about it. We've got Jeff Hunter on the phone with us right now. He's an AI expert, and he's helped companies kind of harness the productivity of all this technology. Jeff, welcome into the show.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. So I guess, first of all, I was just talking about this, that the new generation is going to be called Generation Beta. Any kid born in starting in 2025, their entire lives will be shaped by this, won't it?
Yeah, actually, I have a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old, and both of them are already using AI.
Wow.
In what way?
Well, my 6-year-old, he loves using it to come up with pictures for his books. He likes to come up with like bedtime stories, but he's a really sick, twisted kid. He always makes monsters and stuff.
That's now, funny.
My 12-year-old, on the other hand, he likes to cheat. So he tries using it for his homework.
Yep. And I've talked to teachers about that as well, who know they've got to be on the lookout for that. One of them told me that in most cases, if a kid's writing improves dramatically from one assignment to the next, he suspects AI.
So, unless they start using it from the very beginning and the teacher just thinks that that's their writing style and never sees an increase in, you know, their grammar.
Yeah, where does that go, Jeff? I mean, it's only going to get harder to detect, right?
Yeah, and not to mention the technology, you know, AI is getting more human-like, which should, you know, like you said earlier about Terminator, it could be scary. But I think at the same time, we kind of have to realize we're at a point now to where we can't put the genie back in the bottle. So we have to kind of adapt and figure out how to integrate it to what we're doing. And I think we're going to start seeing even the education system start to embrace AI in their lesson plan.
Well, I mean, the introduction they sent me for you said it's about courageous leadership and ethical foresight. I don't know how many people believe that in corporate America that there's a whole lot of ethical foresight. I worry about that.
Well, one thing's for sure, whether you're in a corporate or a small business or you're an employee, whatever role you're in, you got to at least take a look at and say, heck, how can I use AI to make my job better? You know, there's a lot of things you can have it do just to make your life easier, more productive, do more. And if you're a business owner, now's a good time to say, hey, do I have a point person who can kind of lead the charge and say, where should we actually use AI? Because I think that's an important step.
So how are some of the ways people are using it in businesses that aren't kind of over the top ridiculous, but actually are making it, you know, making them more productive?
Well, the most practical and easiest way for businesses to use it is for marketing, because first off, everyone's always thinking the same thing. How can I use AI to make money? So using it to do email marketing and create social media content and all that kind of stuff that actually generates revenue, that's a very quick win for a business owner. So you're going to see that marketing is going to be the first adoption for most businesses in 2025.
Yeah. Writing the paragraph that, you know, is your elevator speech. I mean, it's amazing to me what this stuff can do. And now it's being offered when you're making Facebook posts. You can let AI rewrite your post for you.
Yeah, you know, the funny part about that is I don't know if you've noticed, but every time you try to have it write for you, it's really bad.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like it.
I think the reason why is because I think what it does is it looks at what everyone else posts on Facebook and everyone posts bad things. So one takeaway for everyone listening here is that if you want AI to write good, you have to feed it with good data. You have to make sure that it knows and is trained on how to write good.
It seems like this is going to reshape how people do some job interviews, because let's say you have a person who's going for a position that will require a lot of writing. Well, what's to say the person couldn't use all AI-driven articles or whatever as examples when they're going to do that job interview? So it seems like you'd almost have to do an on-site writing test where you know they can't, like a marketing job, you know they can't use AI, and it's actually them, okay, critically thinking about how am I going to do this?
You know, I actually had that exact same thing. I have a marketing agency. I used to have 5 copywriters on my team, and some of them are really reluctant on using AI. And when I started telling them that I was shifting to more of a results base, I don't care if they use AI, but look, if I know that it's only going to take you 1 hour to write 5 blogs instead of 1 blog in 5 hours, we're going to have a different conversation about compensation. So that's why we have to start thinking like AI first. Like, what could we be doing? And then, you know, what is probably a better use of my time? So I think we're going to have to be more strategic and creative as humans, and then we can have AI do the dirty work.
Yeah. Jeff, is there a place people can go to find out more information about what you do?
Oh, absolutely. JeffJHunter.com. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Have a great morning. We appreciate that. You know, I would say, well, for what we do, we talk on the radio. What is AI going to do for us? It would be the question. But AI is also involved in some of those deepfake things as well, like recreating a host's voice to make it sound like they're saying something they didn't say.
Right.
Some of it's dangerous.
Well, I remember playing an example of that where it sounded very authentic. It was all AI. It was two radio hosts, and they were talking like human emotions that you'd think you wouldn't be possible with AI. They nailed it. You would not know just listening to it that it was not an actual person.
So you might hear something like that in commercials or promos or whatever it is. You just got to be...
Or scammers using it.
Scammers.
To say, oh, this is your loved one. This is your grandson. And I've been in a bad accident. I need you to help me.
Wow. Hey, coming up, we'll get to Griff Jenkins. Nothing fake about that guy. He's been busting his butt over the holidays, working every possible shift he could at Fox News, New York, Washington. He's on the couch again for Fox and Friends this morning. We're going to check in with Griff coming up here right after the break. We'll be right back.
Listen, Rita, and they've been lying about this from day one, lying every day from the White House podium about the border being secured. I am grateful President Trump got reelected. President Trump's going to come into office, and we're going to secure that border. We're going to run a deportation operation. We concentrate, prioritize public safety threats and national security threats. I think this country is about to get a lot safer under President Trump.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, Griff, welcome into 2025, my friend. How are you?
I am good. Happy New Year, Mark and Kim. And, you know, it's tough to be in a celebratory mood, as we've all learned. I mean, the country is starting the new year with a threat of Islamic terrorism, something we haven't seen in a while. And you know, I was sort of saying this on Fox and Friends this morning, Mark. You know, you put into perspective whether these two are connected or not, but 7 hours and 2 time zones apart separated, you had a terror attack, it looks like, in New Orleans, and another potential one in Las Vegas. And people are like, whoa, hang on. This is worse than just a hangover on New Year's Day.
So I heard them giving you props yesterday for some of the reporting that the Ford EV had been seen at the southern border near Eagle Pass. What do you know about that? I mean, doesn't necessarily mean that's the guy that drove it down there, right?
That's right. So it's interesting. So to be clear, because there's some people, you know, attacking us saying that we confirmed it crossed the border from Mexico. We don't have that confirmation from them. What we do know is that plate readers in the border town of Eagle Pass along the border did pick up that license plate of that truck. Now, sources told me and David Swent that they do not believe that the person Shahshedin Jabbar that was in this horrific attack was driving the vehicle then, but because it was a rental vehicle, it appears that factually law enforcement has gotten plate hits from plate readers, as they say, of that truck in Eagle Pass. And so, you know, that, of course, not getting a lot of attention right now because they did say that they don't think the suspect was driving in Eagle Pass, but it is part of the story. And I'm glad you raised it because you can't discount it. And, you know, why would that even possibly happen? Well, we don't know, but we do know this, that rental cars are often used in smuggling operations along the border, and many of the smugglers and the vehicles that smugglers use in Eagle Pass come through Houston. I know that because I've ridden with Texas DPS when we've literally busted smugglers in the act, and the drivers and or vehicles were often out of Houston. And so it may be the case that it's a coincidence that this truck could have been involved in smuggling operations and then ended up with this guy, or there may be more to the story. Hopefully, right. And we expect, by the way, a press conference today from the officials in New Orleans. I'm going to guess it's going to take quite some time to put the pieces together on the truck's history and the timeline of the truck. But it's, you know, these are not details that can be overlooked. And even if this truck had nothing to do with the border and this individual, Shahshedin Jabbar, is obviously a U.S. citizen, it doesn't discount the fact of the threat of a terrorist sneaking across the border, which over the last 4 years, I pointed out, there were 388 individuals that were apprehended by Border Patrol that matched a terror screening watch list under the Biden administration. 388 versus 11 under the first Trump administration, that's nearly 3,500%. And the scariest part, Mark, is those are just the ones we know about. That doesn't account for the number of known gotaways that may already be here.
Well, these two guys, the guy from the Vegas attack, who they've now identified, who was found in the Tesla, we don't know his connection to the whole situation, and the guy from New Orleans, both have, what was it, a military background,
yes.
I think you were saying, Mark. And I guess, Griff, that's the risk you're taking when you're using this app. It's called what? Turo, you don't know if it could be used in this case in a terrorist attack.
Well, I mean, Enterprise wouldn't know either, would they?
No, I mean, that's the scary thing.
They probably wouldn't, but Kim's point's a really valid one, which is, you know, this app is as I understand it, kind of like Airbnb-ing your home.
Okay.
And so I think, you know, the perhaps people with ill intentions want to use the less corporate entity because they feel like there would be less accountability to trace it back to someone like that. And in the larger picture, we don't know that these two things are connected. But even if there's no connections, they don't know each other, it doesn't discount that each individual could possibly have been internally radicalized and inspired as opposed to directed or coordinated. And if that's the only connection,
yes,
that's a terrifying one because we just haven't seen many of these types of attacks in recent years.
I heard your interview with Tom Homan this morning, and I mean, obviously he's chomping at the bit to try to be in control 18 days from now and have a little more impact over this. You know, I mean, President Biden took a little bit of grief for the delay in his response to all of this. Are you two expecting big changes when it comes to the response to issues like this under a Trump administration?
You bet. I am talking to Trump folks, incoming people like Tom Homan, multiple times every day. And when it comes to security and locking down the border, people's heads are going to spin how fast they move. I'm sort of getting some details here and there about executive orders that President-elect Trump's going to put into effect literally minutes after he's inaugurated. If, you know, in most traditional incoming administrations, Mark, you know, to the victor go the spoils. And for the staffers that will soon occupy 1600 Pennsylvania, they at least get a little honeymoon period and get to go to fancy balls and all that stuff. Ha, think twice, buckle up, because that guy, Donald Trump, is going to raise his right hand and he's going to make a beeline for the Oval Office. And I think their goal, I know from speaking with people in the incoming administration, their goal is, you know, we always talk about the first 100 days. Well, this incoming administration wants to make the marker the day one things, the the first 30 days. And it's not just going to be the border. It's also going to be these regulations, oil and gas, and putting on fast track, trying to get Congress in to move quickly on things like extending those tax cuts, which will soon expire. And that's going to be the first drama we get tomorrow starting at noon.
Yep.
And we had Mike Johnson on, Speaker Johnson, today. And I asked him, are you worried about the math? He said, no, you know, we're going to be fine, but we don't know that he's going to be fine. And so if they can't elect quickly Johnson and we get into one of these 15-vote, four-day dramas, it's going to certainly, I think, have some sort of impact about sort of stunting things at the speed with which Trump wants it to move.
I'll bet. So I don't know how things work up there at Fox, but I don't think you've had a day off in the month of December leading up until now. Like, do you have like a whole month off to go surfing coming up here, Griff?
Listen, I am going to petition the bosses here to renegotiate my contract so my title reads Chief Senior D-List Holiday Fill-In Anchor, because I've done a lot of that.
Much listen, deserved.
I have had, it is such an honor to you know, sit in all of these chairs and fill in. So I got to confess that I'd do it even if they weren't paying me, because it's quite an honor and a lot of fun. And we had a lot of news. People asked me, how'd you spend Christmas? I said, well, I spent it on Fox and Friends wiping out on a skateboard on live television.
Right. So, yeah, exactly.
But I missed that video.
Trust me, thanks to the internet, they capture it. It's out there. I'll make sure I send it to you. I think I retweeted it on my ex account. But I made it look, by the way, pretty smooth, Ken. You can be the judge. We'll talk about this next week. But Santa decided Griff was a good boy, and I appreciate that from the fat man in the red suit. Brought me a new surfboard, and so I'm hoping next week to sneak off for four quick days and head to Costa Rica and catch a couple of waves. And I will post such video and picture evidence if I captured. Although based on what I did just going 4 feet in a studio on a skateboard, I might have to up my surfing game and make sure I remember how to do it and not drown.
You'll be fine. And it's a well-deserved vacation. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, guys, listen, have a great one. I look forward to it. And who knows, we'll stay in contact, but if I'm traveling around in Costa Rica, maybe I'll call in from there and really rub it in and from tropical paradise.
That'd be awesome. Whatever works for you, Griff. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see ya. Griff Jenkins there, live up in D.C. He was, I swear, he was on every show this weekend.
I'm trying to find that video of him wiping out.
I watched him. He was doing Fox and Friends. He was on in the afternoons. He was on Outnumbered. I mean, he was everywhere on Fox over the course of the holiday. And that would be a lot of fun, even though it'd be a big demand on your family time for sure. All right, quick break. We're going to be back here in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
Two, hats off to law enforcement. They put this guy down pretty quickly, but we had Ballard failures, which is a physical security failure. Today, 10 days after the Magdeburg, Germany car terror attack. How is that acceptable? 10 days, 12 days afterwards. And we've got a crowd of people that were shot, 15 people dead. And I just think that we've got a monster DEI problem within the FBI, because when that sack came out, and Nicole will speak to this better than me, and said, this isn't terrorism. You cannot tell me this isn't terrorism when you've got the Tesla truck going off, you've got a ramming vehicle attack happening at the same time, and we're in a place right now where we have to start getting in front of these things, because this is only going to get worse.
Yeah. There you have it. Aaron Cohen is that guy's name. He's a terrorism expert. I wanted to play that for you. DEI problem at the FBI. I imagine there's a lot of that throughout government. And as Griff mentioned, they're going to try to fix some of that here in the new Trump administration. Maybe on day one. I think I'm going to be there for the inauguration. So I'm going to obviously be following this on social media. I'll do live reports from D.C. while I'm up there. And it is a holiday. It's Martin Luther King Day, which is interesting because normally we would have the day off that day. I think, Kim, they're going to drag you in here and make you do a show since I'll be up there.
This is true.
And
it's a big day, though.
I'll be calling in reports, but it'll be interesting because by then we'll have a much better idea of what the plan. I don't think they're going to keep it a secret. I think we'll have a list of things he's going to sign immediately upon getting sworn in. I think he'll hustle out of there after the ceremony straight to the White House and start signing executive orders. They'll probably already be filled out and ready to go.
Oh, I'm sure. Number one has to be the border.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that'll be at the top of the list. And, you know, I heard that ever since the Obama administration, they've been trying to clean out the prison at Guantanamo Bay. I read the other day that we made some kind of deal that's going to return four of those terrorists back to their home countries. Why would we ever let them go? I have never understood that for the life of me. Guantanamo Bay is on the tip of Cuba. The Cubans hate that we have that toehold down there, but it's outside of the it's a rock. It's on an island. We have people who've tried to kill and murder and maim Americans and have killed and murdered and maimed Americans. We've got them in custody. There's 27 of them, I understand, still down there. Since the Biden administration, these Democrats have been trying to figure out ways to shut down Guantanamo Bay. Why would we ever do that?
But what's the purpose of wanting to shut it down?
Oh, it's not fair. I mean, these people deserve a fair trial, and you know we shouldn't have them down there.
Well, they deserve they deserve a fair trial. I'll get on board with that. But it sounds like they probably did have a trial and were found guilty, spent the rest of their lives there.
In many cases, or they were enemy combatants on a field of terror somewhere where they killed Americans. And we snatched them and took them down there.
People who have concerns about that should watch a show I watched I don't know if it was Netflix years ago, called Russia's Toughest Prisons, because it makes some of the jails here in America probably seem like a joke. I mean, these are the baddest of the bad. Like, I'm talking cannibals.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't treat people with, you know, you're not having your... I was going to say sardines, but that's actually not that gourmet at all.
No. Have you had sardines?
Ew, no. Like, no, have you?
Sure.
Ew, really?
Just a salty fish.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's not gross.
Out of a can.
Just a salted fish.
A salted fish you pull out of a can still in the form of a fish.
I'm not a huge fan, but I mean, I've had lox and bagels and
that's very different. That's chopped up and doesn't look like a fish.
No, that's true.
I wouldn't take, even if it were cooked somehow, I wouldn't take a fork and a knife to a cow and cut into it and start eating it. But if you give me a delicious, juicy T-bone steak on my plate, I have no problem eating it. But I can't look at it in its form and be okay with eating it. That just grosses me out.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Need I go on?
Sounds like a personal problem, but that's all right.
Is it though?
Like, I would never order a pizza with sardines on it. Don't get me wrong. I just said I've tried them before.
You just eat them straight out of the can.
No, no, I wouldn't do that. I swear I wouldn't. This is one story I have not gotten to yet today that I did want to mention. In addition to that, the Inspector General report from the DOJ that proved employees there were leaking information to try to harm Donald Trump's reelection. This report came out as well. Real Clear Investigations reporter Paul Sperry is reporting on these new documents proving that Andrew McCabe, the former acting FBI director turned CNN contributor, ordered a criminal probe into Donald Trump days after he fired James Comey using the same discredited source of the Russian Steele dossier. Now, why this has taken so long to come out, I don't know why, but it says that, of course, we all know who the Steele dossier was. It was funded by Hillary Clinton, and it now appears that McCabe turned to Steele again, even knowing he was discredited, in an effort to build a criminal case against Trump in retaliation for the firing of Comey. Why is this guy not wearing prison orange? Hopefully, Cash Patel And the Pam Bondi are paying attention to these stories as they come out, since they're about to be in charge again up there, I hope. That's good. All right, that's going to do it for us. Stick around. The Kilmeade Show, of course, coming up next. We'll be around all afternoon with the Annie Fry Show, the Mark Reardon Show, and Kim and Ethan and Sue and I will see you back here tomorrow morning. Again, I mentioned we're going to try to get Dave Murray on here tomorrow with a bit more accurate forecast for what might happen on Sunday and Monday. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.